Aidan O'Connor is here live in the studio from Durham. He's a green, currently a Green County legislator, and you're the minority leader?
Correct.
But you're trying to get a different job now, running for the 102nd Assembly District, is that right?
That's right.
Formerly held by Pete Lopez, the Republican from Schoharie County, and you're running against, I guess, a couple of Republican and Independent, both from Schoharie County. But you're trying to get Green County to represent the district for the first time in a long time. Well, Pete Lopez, I think, has held the seat since...
For at least 10 years.
Yeah, ever since I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while.
And there's a special election coming up on April 24th. You said 47 days left?
46 days as of today.
So that must be... Do you have time to raise money, or are you just talking to people all the time? I guess you have to do both.
We're doing a little bit of everything, yeah. So such a short runway, but we have a great amount of volunteers. We have a great staff that's supporting us. We have a new campaign headquarters on 404 Main Street, Catskill. So out and about as much as possible. We certainly are raising money. That goes hand in hand with politics nowadays, unfortunately. So we do have a website up, www.aidan, A-I-D-A-N, for Assembly. And there you could look at the future events coming up. You could volunteer through a tab, give us your information. You could contribute. So it's a multifaceted page.
Now, it's a very demographically a Republican district. But this seems like this year you might have a chance, since there is much more interest among Democrats, it seems, that, in getting people elected. If you see what happened in Texas the other day, what's happened in special elections throughout the country. Is that momentum here too?
Oh, we're definitely seeing that momentum. We're seeing not only Democrats and these new progressive groups, but people who are no party or independence party. They're looking to get involved in politics, and they're looking to get involved a lot in the person more than the political structure, which is great to see. So that's why we've been out and about meeting as many people, showing them our message, seeing if it aligns with theirs. And a lot of time it is. And they are ready to get to work. We've sent out thousands of postcards. We've made thousands of phone calls. And that's all due to volunteer groups that have come about since the last year or two. So we're hopeful. We're very, very hopeful.
And I guess you have an argument to make that since the Democrats control the Assembly, being in the majority is more powerful than being a Republican in the minority in the district in terms of... bringing pork back and that sort of thing, I guess. Is that the case?
Yeah, it certainly helps. In any structure of government, there's always obviously a majority and a minority. In the state assembly, it's a huge majority. There's about 108 Democratic assembly members compared to about 36 Republican members. So the opportunity to go in and be able to pass legislation, be in the room when they talk about the budget, have contacts to those individuals and bring that money back here for the district, or pass legislation that usually might not be specific to upstate New York, because there's a lot of Democrats are downstate, having that opportunity would definitely benefit every single individual of the 102nd Assembly District.
And there's seven different elections on throughout the state on the special election day, and the Senate might flip. I mean, the Democrats actually hold the Senate currently, but only in name, because several caucus with the Republicans, so the Republicans have control of the Senate, but that might change with this election, right?
Correct. So there's two Senate seats on the same day of April 24th, and if those were to go both to Democrat, because of the structure they have with the independent Democratic caucus of the state Senate, that would switch to a Democratic Senate after that. And then there's nine open assembly seats, all of which have a Republican and or Democrat candidate.
Oh, so there's 11 elections altogether throughout the state.
11 altogether. So there's actually, right now as we speak, there's 1.7 million people without representation because
of
those people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people, significant amount.
There's another election locally to fill the Steve McLaughlin seat too, right?
Correct. Yep, up north. Yep, so that's 107.
That's part of Columbia County, that seat too, and Rensselaer County. So tell us why, what issues are you running on? What are you trying to convince people voting for you rather than the Republican or the Independent?
Yeah, thank you, and truly thank you for the opportunity to come on the radio this morning. We're trying to get out to as many people as humanly possible. What I saw was, we live in the most beautiful district. It covers about seven counties. There's 129,000 people in this district. And when I look at how beautiful it is, why I love upstate New York, one of the other things that we noticed, though, was there's a lot of issues that have gone unsolved or have come up over the last couple of years. So I'll start with communications. It's something that we use every single day. We're on the radio here today. We need better cell phone service. We need to ensure that the broadband funding that we have coming to us is getting to the private sector, and then for the private sector is getting it to our homes. So as assembly member, I will ensure that those millions and millions of dollars are going there to ensure broadband.
Yeah, Cuomo just announced the third round of, and Cairo got like a million, and Catskill got like a million, I think.
Yeah, if you break it down in segments, overall, Greene County specifically has gotten almost $20 million in private market money that'll from grants that'll go to the private sector.
That goes to Mid-Hudson Cable, or where does it go to?
It'll go to Statel, Mid-Hudson Cable, and also Margaretville, who's not in Greene County, but services a lot of the Lexington-Prattsville area, and that will go to improving either wireless and or wired internet to the homes.
And so how will people, not the businesses, but how will people benefit from that?
Oh, it'll, so the hope is that these businesses will get the money to then lay the infrastructure, and in theory, quote unquote, everyone in New York State will have broadband. So what we're going to be watching over the next year, 2 years, because it's going to take some time to lay the infrastructure and get the functionality in there. But in reality, in 2 years, every single household in Greene County should be receiving some sort of internet, whether it's a wireless-based system or laying down broadband wires to your house. Now, the question is, we need to make sure it gets there. We need to make sure that when, you know, somebody on a back road calls their state assemblyman or state senator, that we have a pathway to say, yes, you should be getting internet on this date, on this time, and if you're not, what is the plan B solution? So we don't want anyone to fall through there. And tied into communication, we have cell phone towers. We also have 911 communications. A lot of people don't realize that the cost of the infrastructure to place these 911 towers up is significant. And when we pay our AT&T and Verizon bills, we already pay a tax that goes to the state legislature. And as a county legislator, I was one of the legislators who helped and said, yes, we want to take those taxes and bring them back to this county. So I've supported that on the local level, and I'll support that again as state assembly. We are not without certainly being impacted by the opioid and heroin crisis.
Greene County is the worst in the state in is it deaths or what?
It's per capita for opioid and heroin related deaths. So it's catastrophic. We're seeing it every single day. As a first responder, I've been there and administered Narcan, the reversal agent drug for these devastating overdoses. And I've seen it where people were able to come back to life from it. And I've also been there to have to tell mothers and fathers and siblings and friends that no matter how much drugs we carried of Narcan, how quick we got there, that their loved ones had died. So on the local level, we put out medication drop boxes. We've done needle exchange bins where you could drop off used needles. We've had Vivitrol in the county jail. It's another long-term reaction drug that will reverse the agent. And we've also put into a joint lawsuit throughout the state of New York to go together and say the opioid crisis should be paid for by these pharmaceutical companies who for years did not advertise and did not relay this correctly. So we've done that on the local level. And at the local level, my mission's always been to keep people alive. That's what we have to do. On the state level, we need to look for long-term solutions. In the whole 102nd Assembly District, we do not have inpatient services. So if you today were reversed with Narcan, had that second opportunity of life, there's nowhere for you to go tonight to be admitted, especially in a local capacity. And then even if there is a place downstate in the Hudson Valley, over in Vermont, over in Massachusetts, you're being taken away from your family. It's costing you a tremendous amount of money. You potentially are going to lose your job. So it's just going to make it even spiral even worse. So we need some localized inpatient services here in New York, and we need to make sure the pharmaceuticals pay for it.
All right. What other issues are you talking about these days?
Yeah, healthcare in general. And out of this whole 102nd Assembly District, there are only two small community hospitals. So if you are having a devastating cardiac illness, neuro illness, traumatic injury, it takes quite a bit of time to get to a big center in Albany or down in Kingston or Poughkeepsie. So my goal is EMS. Coming as a paramedic, I worked as a flight paramedic in a helicopter. I've been an educator at SUNY Cobleskill, which is in the district. My hope is to help this EMS system where it's transitioning a lot from volunteer to this paid staff. They are the front lines. They are the individuals who are pulling up your driveway who are going to be able to do 12 EDKGs, start IVs, and literally save your life and get you to the destination that you need to be at. Right now, there's never been a paramedic in the state legislature, so I'd be the first. And there's also no funding available. If somebody was to say tomorrow, and I'll use Greenville as an example, when Greenville Rescue Squad went from volunteer to paid, there were no funds, there were no people to come down from the state and help them transition from that volunteer to paid state. So I definitely want to concentrate on that. And once we get this broadband up and going, one of my big initiatives would be to bring a lot of that telecommunications to the home for healthcare. There are systems in place around the country where an individual in Lexington, one of our farthest, most rural populations, they could actually have a blood pressure machine, a webcam, a weight monitoring system, and every morning talk to a nurse or a doctor and base off their blood pressure, base off their weight, base off their diabetes, glucometer, sugar check. They could actually get pharmaceuticals sent to their house. They never have to leave their house. They get to check in with somebody every morning. So even if they're just lonely, you get to have somebody look at you and say, you're okay, you're feeling good, talk to me about what's going on. So there's so many options to make sure that rural healthcare isn't forgotten. And I hope to roll that out, especially to this district in both Green, Schoharie, Delaware, Albany. Saugerties has it in Ulster County and also Otsego County.
And the district is all of Green County and all, is it all of Schoharie County?
All of Green, all of Schoharie.
And that's it? Or is there part of Albany County? Or
Parts of Albany. We have Rensselaerwe, Westerlo, and Queeman in Albany. Ulster County is included with the town of Saugerties. It's a very large population. We have the most western part of Delaware and Otsego County. So it's a big, vast district. I always say that if you took a coffee and spilled it on a map and drew a line around it, that's pretty much what the district looks like.
And you've been traveling to all these places?
Correct. One weekend so far alone, we were in all seven counties in 2 days. And there's parts where I'll put in, looking at the map, it's about an hour and 45 minutes just to get to one location to another. But it's great because we all share a commonality in the sense that we're rural. And as much as when the state focuses more on the number of people and not over the quality of people, upstate New York's always going to suffer. So just as an example, community colleges, when we talk about keeping young individuals here, I just lost a part of my youth. I just turned 30 years old. So I lost that youthful nature that I had in the legislature. But when you look at looking out in the future, Columbia Green Community College is one of 30 plus community colleges, but the contribution from the state is based off the number of people enrolled. Well, if that's the case, we're always going to be at a disadvantage because we have a low population and we see the population dwindling as it is. So we need to make sure that the funding from the state, especially in our rural access, is based off of quality and not off of quantity. So if the Columbia Green needs X amount of money to ensure that we have a school that's local to us, we need to ensure that it's based off of what they need and not the number of students that are going. Because if we keep relying on that at the state level, we're seeing the state aid go down, which means Columbia and Green counties for property taxes have to go up. So that's my goal as state assemblyman to come back and do that. And then two-toned with the education is we need more trade and certification-based programs here in Green County. If we keep sending all of our youth away to go to four-year colleges and come back with riddling debt without jobs, we're going to be in true trouble. So when I look at my friends, my hope is always that they can come back here, they could live here, they could raise their families here, but we need to make sure they have jobs here and they have the training that is based off of the needs of this district.
Yeah, the district historically, there's nobody in their 20s here. That they all go either off to school or off to some job somewhere else. And then maybe they come back when they're 40 or something. But how often is people from the city moving up at that, you know, in those ages? So you'd like to try to retain some of the youth somehow?
I would. That's a big a movement. Considering I'm part of that generation that left, I had my friends who've left. I've had good friends who've called me and said, come to Boston, come to New York City. And I tried to explain to them that if everyone kept doing that, we're never going to use that new energy, that new enthusiasm, or with that new style of what they've learned if we keep leaving this area to improve this area. So I've stayed here. I've dedicated myself to be here. I'm trying to bring my friends back here. But it is hard until we have the jobs and the infrastructure. And it's two-tone. You know, you need to be able to pay your bills and have a mortgage, but you also want to be able to say that you have access to internet. We're, you know, not even an hour south of the capital of New York State. We're 2 hours north of one of the biggest cities in the country, in the world. And the fact that somebody can't watch Netflix at home, somebody can't go to school back online to go get their master's because they can't load things, that's ridiculous. And we've gone too long without those types of things that will A, keep people here, and B, attract them back to here.
And why don't you give out your campaign website address, and do you have some appearances coming up that people can talk to you in person?
We do, and they're all on the website. Every weekend between now and then, April 24th, we will have multiple events. We'll have fundraisers set up, but most importantly, we have phone banks at our headquarters every Monday and Thursday evenings.
Where is the headquarters?
Headquarters is 404 Main Street, Catskill, right across from the county building. A beautiful building that we are fortunate to have. And the website is www.aidan4assembly.com.
And let's switch to some more local issues, because you're still part of the Greene County Legislature as you're during the campaign. So what is the status on the Greene County Jail at this point? It seems like it flips and flops with every meeting.
Yes. So it's by far on the forefront of all of our minds. In the last couple months, we've seen it go back and forth between resolutions. Just this latest resolution came from the floor. A verbal resolution was made to cease going forward with a merger of Columbia County, or even just looking into Columbia County. I voted abstain during that meeting. I didn't feel as though it adhered to the rules of the Greene County Legislature that we did a verbal resolution. Usually our resolutions are posted on the website 3 days before the meeting. We have time to go through them and read them and study them if needed. So I abstained during that vote. What it's come down to is when we first joined this legislature, there were six new legislators at that time that came on, and they had already done a lot of the work to look at what this 52-million, 132-room facility would look like in Coxsackie.
And it's 52 million plus the loan interest, which it's like 67 million, right?
Oh yeah, with the amortization rate over 30 years, you're looking at least 67 million if you lock in a good interest rate. So overall, to the taxpayers over 30 years, it'll be about $60-70 million,
which is the largest capital project in Greene County history.
The largest, correct? Yep. And
so we're all looking at higher taxes if that goes through.
You're looking at higher taxes, and for a while too. So for instance, when we came on, we said, "Whoa, why are we building a jail for 132 rooms when we only have less than 40 inmates in the current jail?" And when we looked at the state, and then we looked at the country, we saw that the inmate population is decreasing. So we said, well, why don't we build it to something that's smaller, and why don't we look at these alternatives to incarceration? So the legislature stalled on the $52 million bond, which I think was the right thing, and I was one of the five legislators who said, whoa, let's pump the brakes and say, let's actually make sure that this is factual and what we need and what can we afford. So we have re-looked at it. It's down to 88 beds at this moment, the current blueprint. It has Alternatives to Incarceration Committee, which was spearheaded by other legislators, people of criminal justice, people of substance abuse, people of mental health. And we saw that if we were to initiate these, not only is population organically decreasing at the moment, but we could actually decrease it even more, which does two things. It helps human life. Because of, you know, if we can get somebody into rehab for mental health or substance abuse instead of a jail, that makes improvement of human life. But for the taxpayers, the more people that are not in that jail, that's costing, you know, $200, $300 per day of having them in that place. If we can get them out of that, that's saving property tax owners. If we could build it a smaller amount, that's saving property tax owners. So I think that we've done a great job. Right now, what's happening is, I would say well over the majority of the legislature does not believe in the Columbia County plan. They've seen the community college, they've seen the ASPCA, they've seen the hospital all go to Columbia County, and they're fearful of one more building being brought over to Columbia County. So I empathize with that emotional response.
Yeah, every project is called Columbia Green.
Correct.
We are the only project that is called Green Columbia. If you look at our call letters, are WGXC. And we did that on purpose because every other project is called Columbia Green. We are the only one that is Green Columbia.
That is great. Yeah. And it is everything we hear about, all the different institutions, all the different programs. So they're emotionally responsive to that building. So this upcoming Monday, the public safety meeting was pushed back due to the inclement weather. So this Monday coming up, it's starting at 6 o'clock at 411 Main Street. There will be a lot of committee meetings. I think there'll be about five or six committee meetings because they're condensed. And public safety is one of them, and there is a resolution currently on there.
Is it Monday or Wednesday? I thought it was Wednesday.
This upcoming Monday.
It is Monday.
Yeah, because it was pushed back just because of the weather. So there is a resolution that is calling for us to pay $30,000 to do a shared services engineering report to see if the Columbia County Jail could indeed be expanded additional 45, 50, 60 rooms and see if they could support it, because they have a creek that goes around the jail. And they've had some issues where they, you know, the dirt has fallen into the creek. There's a limited amount of room that they could have. So this would be looking at an engineer plan. So this would be the first time that there's a dollar amount affiliated with the Columbia County concept.
Because there's already been $1 million spent on the Coxsackie site, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the engineering plans, looking at it. We got the site for free, but yes, we've certainly looked into quite a bit of money already invested into what it would be. And this is a hard decision, and it's multi-pronged, and it should be a hard decision. This is, we're talking about changing the way that people pay taxes for years. We're talking about putting a building up that's going to last generational. You know, you're looking at potentially another 100-year building, depending on how the future forecasts. So people I know are upset because it's taken so long. They're upset because there's a lot of conversation out there for or against certain topics. But you have to understand that then when this decision is made, this decision is with us for the next 50 to 100 years. So I think that it is a good thing that we're looking at it. I think it is a good thing that we're having discussion on it. And certainly when it goes in debate fashion, it has to be two things. It's what are we doing as taxpayers, and what is it going to cost us, and how do we try to do the best we can with that? And also, this is a human life concept. Just like anything else, a hospital, mental health, substance abuse, DMV, anything like that, this is impacting human life. So we have to do it right in both of those sectors.
It seems like to me that it's an absolutely intractable situation, that you've got a handful of legislators who say absolutely no way we will work with Columbia County on this, and we have to have this jail in Greene County. And there's another group of legislators that say absolutely no way, we will not raise taxes on Greene County residents this much for 30, 50 years or whatever long it's going to take to pay off the jail. Is the governor going to have to step in and because the state, you've got pressure from the state to the old facility is 100 years old and in horrible condition. It was just named one of the five worst facilities in the state. Is the state going to have to step in and force Greene County to do something about this? Because I don't see how it's going to get passed one way or the other.
I think it will pass. My hope, my personal hope, and I'm only one of 14, is that it passes in the next month or two. We have some sort of direction going forward, only because the legislature, all 14 seats are up again. We do not revolve around different years for different elections. We are all up at one time. And if we
That's this November.
So this
vote is going to decide the election in November, because people are going to be up in arms one way or the other about this vote.
Well, my hope is that it gets done before we get into the election cycle of the county legislature. And because of the fact that we've invested a lot of money in one way and we're about to potentially invest money in another, that we stick together as a group of people that agree that, A, we need a new jail no matter what. The jail that we have is a disgrace to our county. It is, you know, the fact that we have corrections officers working in there currently today, inmates in there, is disgraceful. It's a horrible jail. I've taken a tour of it personally. I've been on the basement level all the way up to the ceiling. And I could tell you that we desperately need a new jail. It's just a matter of what we can do. That report that recently came out that spoke to the jail was mostly operational. It didn't even talk about the structural integrity too much. We certainly have limitations because of the size. We have limitations because of the location and the age of it. But a lot of that was operational. And the legislature, as much as we as representatives of the people, we oversee creation of law, policy, certainly the employees and things like that. But the sheriff's administration is also an elected official. So it's two houses per se. So there is also that friction that, you know, we don't have complete control over the jail. That's a constitutional right of the sheriff himself. So when we talk about operations, things like that, those would be questions pertaining to him. Structurally, though, we fund the project, and we certainly take their input for corrections officers, the safety of the corrections officers, what they believe, you know, is a right view for Greene County. So we need a new jail no matter what. Will the state intervene at some point? They already are. We're already limited to the number of people that we could have in our jail, hence why a lot of our individuals are over in Columbia County today.
So we're already sharing a jail.
We are
with Columbia.
Absolutely. We already have a budgeted line item of $750,000 approximately. Of money that we then board out inmates currently today. And I'm just using approximation. I have not seen the daily figures today, but I would say half of our inmates are in Greene County, half of them are in Columbia County, because we're already restricted by the state has come down and said, you cannot use these cells. You cannot use this block of cells. You cannot have these types of inmates here. So we're already being restricted quite a bit. At any moment in time, could the state turn around and say, that's it, no one else is in this building? Absolutely. But you know what? That's going to come back down to the taxpayers again, because it costs us money to board out. We have a contractual price with local jails in other counties. So it is going to cost us money that way. So time is precious in this, I think, but it shouldn't certainly, we should have as much time as we need to make sure we have the right decision. My only hope is that this legislative body does it, because I think that if it gets pushed off until 2019, it's only going to get that much worse, and we need to do something.
And is the Greene County, the current jail's location, that real estate, can that be sold, or is there any way for the county to make money off of that? If that, I guess the building would have to be torn down, but
yeah, so we do have money in this program. It's part of the quote unquote bonding money of $52 million or $44 million, depending on the month. And the hope is to tear down the building. Maybe the sheriff's, I don't know if you've been to the sheriff's office, you know, for people that go in to get fingerprinted or get pistol permits or whatever the case might be. That building's a beautiful historic building. It kind of goes hand in hand with the courthouse. However, the jail structure itself certainly should be torn down. There's no use of rehabbing it, no use of doing anything like that. If I could see a perfect world for Greene County, I would definitely say that a parking garage where the current jail is, that's one or two stories, in the private sector, have somebody come in and create the parking garage and run it. Give the parking that's across from the courthouse back to the village, right next to Snap Fitness, and across over there by the residentials. If we gave that back to have a few new storefronts and a few apartments on top, that's going to be taxes that come back.
That's right on Main Street.
That's right on Main Street, right across from the courthouse. So we gave that property back, let that be privately marketed with two or three spots for storefronts and then multiple apartments. That's going to be new income tax. The parking garage will be new income tax, property tax for both of those locations. So that would be help offsetting it. And it aligns ourselves with the Village of Catskill is beautiful. And it's only getting better year by year, with our economy getting better and with our style of what we're looking for business and tourism here in Greene County.
Yeah, there's actually demand for storefronts in Catskill at this point.
Yeah, and it's only going to grow. So if we can give that parking garage back, make a parking garage so parking's not such a big issue where the old jail was, put the jail in Coxsackie where there's already two jails. So there's no one that ever come to us and said, you know, this is not my backyard statement where, you know, this is bothering me or I'm a resident and I don't want to hear. It's a perfect location for it. So I think that if it was to go to Coxsackie and we made a parking garage in Catskill and gave that property back next to Stat Fitness that the county currently owns, I think it would definitely bring in some new tax.
You've got to convince the Catskill legislators to give up their nobody wants to give up. The sheriff doesn't want to give up his jail. The Catskill legislators don't want to give up their jail. You know, but if you give them something else, then you could convince them that it's better for the town of Catskill. I guess it would seem like the town of Catskill would rather have storefronts and more parking than a jail economically that is more valuable, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that it aligns itself with what we're aiming for with tourism and small business. So it certainly feeds that while also still having a jail that incorporates alternatives to incarceration that's safe for our corrections officers and in a place that is centrally located for all the inmates, both state and county.
Are there any other issues before the legislature right now? This seems like the one everyone's talking about.
This is the big one. I will say, just to give a preview, taxes, even with or without the jail, is a scary subject.
They're going up?
My first year, they voted on an 8.5% increase in 1 year. With no new programs being added, no new services being added, no increase to constituent services.
And that's because of healthcare costs and such going up?
There's a ton of different costs. So for health insurance, for pension programs, for just the current union contracts, which I 100% agree with. But we're seeing these organic increases happening with nothing else being grown in Greene County for us. So I voted no on the 8.5% increase. Last year, there was a 1.72, so it remained under the 2% tax cap, which I totally agree with, and I will at the state level agree that we should always have a 2% tax cap. I voted yes, finally, after they took out the fact that they were going to save money by going to the retirees' health insurance and changing their health insurance and changing their pharmaceutical delivery and the amount that they pay for the pharmaceuticals. I was completely opposed to that. And a lot of my colleagues were, and luckily we got it off the budget because we should never penalize the retirees. They worked for Greene County for 20, 25, 30, 35 years, and we should never go back to them to look for money. We have to get the budget under control because I believe that with or without the jail, we're going to have a significant increase on our hands this year. If we add the jail into that, you're looking at a significant, I can't imagine that it would be anything less than 10 to 15% increase in one single year. County tax is the lowest tax that we pay on our property taxes. your town and certainly the school are usually in most towns higher, but that does not give us any right to have an increase that's larger than that of cost of living, or certainly the cost that our individuals who are working or have their own businesses are getting increases of. It just puts people in a hole that's just going to keep cycling and getting worse for especially working class, middle class individuals.
So this seems like a question now for your legislative campaign. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but you need to grow the Greene County tax base is the only way to get out of this these kind of tax increases. If there were more businesses here contributing, or more, I don't know, what can be done to solve this tax problem?
So as a state legislator, after especially coming from the county legislature and being the minority, like being able to vote on every committee, being at every single committee multiple times, one of the things that we could change as a state legislature is to take a lot of the programs that we mandate. So a lot of the things that the county legislature pays for is a state mandate. If we were able to take that as a state legislature and put it back on the state where we get our taxes from income tax, it'd be really beneficial to Greene County, because we don't have the property tax owners and the wealth per medium household to pay for these taxes. So if the state took it and came from income taxes come, remember, from Manhattan. It comes from every city in New York State. So the individuals who are making, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million a year, they're paying income tax just like you and I are. So we are able to pull that money from up there. It helps upstate New York. Certainly school taxes. If we were able to alter the way that school taxes were paid for and move it more towards an income-based system instead of a property tax system, that would be huge. Because some of these school taxes that we're getting at some of these households are frustrating people. And then it starts to make people look a little bit different at education. And we don't want that. We want to show that education, especially in the public school system, is about investing in our youth. So if there's a way as a state legislator, I could look at paying for some of those mandates and decreasing the growth of property taxes, I think it'll keep people living here. It'll keep people concentrating on more localized issues instead of things like public education that we should be investing in tremendously. So that would be my role as a state legislator, to try to pay for those quote unquote unfunded mandates that are coming down here and trying to pull them back from the property taxes and a little bit more back on income taxes.
I know that there's 6 Democrats running for the congressional seat, the primary, and maybe one independent, and they've been registering a lot of people to vote. What is the register to vote deadline? Is it passed for the can you still register to vote in the April 24th special election?
You can. It's coming up. We're actually just about to put the calendar on our website because it's such a short runway. It even took some time to get their calendar out. But there's going to be deadlines throughout now until then, and including absentees. There's absentees for the general public, and there's going to be absentees for those who are serving in the military. So we'll make sure we put those up on our website, that everyone has them.
And are you coordinating with those congressional campaigns to register voters?
We have, especially when it comes to they're going door to door. They're getting petitions now. So each of those 6 Democrats who are running for the congressional seat are all going door to door, where they're having big events, especially in the next couple of weeks. So what we've been doing is giving them information, and we've been offering our headquarters. So when they're out knocking on doors in Catskill or anywhere in Greene County, they could certainly come in, grab a break, grab some coffee, grab some tea, utilize the restrooms. And so we're going to work hand in hand that we can do to touch as many people out there as possible.
What are you doing to different? I mean, I know Democrat has won this seat in a long, long time. Since I can remember, what are you doing different to try to change that?
Well, so when I ran in Durham, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. There's 2 Republicans for every 1 Democrat. And my hope was, and I think it obviously worked when I ran as county legislators, when I went knocked on doors or went to events or went to fundraisers, my hope was always that everyone left knowing that I was a good-hearted human being who, as a first responder, as a paramedic, I genuinely just want to see our communities better. I just genuinely want to see people have a life where they could pay their taxes, live their lives, have a great family. So I was always so bipartisan, and I work with people, you know, regardless of what their titles are, what their opinions are in that sense, that this district, as many people as I could meet and as much as I could be on the radio or give the newspaper stories or letters to the editor to say, this is who I am, you know, that's where I think that's where I'm going to be able to win.
And does social media play a big role in a campaign in a rural district like this or not?
We're using it all. Social media has been so interesting. Just in the last couple of years, there's been people who say it makes the biggest impact. There's people that say it makes the smallest impact. Our goal truly is to do more of the boots on the ground. So if there's a fundraiser out there, if there's an event, if there's meet and greets, an opportunity to even meet five people or 500 people, I'll be there. Telephones and certainly reminders and postcards in the mail seemingly work very well. But we have a social media account. It's Aiden for State Assembly. And I also put county legislative items before that on there. So we used to share, I used to have a Facebook wall as a county legislator, and that worked out very well because our government has to be more transparent. People are working one, two, three jobs. I personally have three jobs. And when people have those, they don't have time to go to meetings. And our website on our county page is not designed to be user friendly.
So can we get a live web stream? Can we get agendas printed or on the website beforehand?
Yep. So the agendas are on there. A little bit difficult to find, but I would love, and we've talked about this at the legislature before, is whether to do a live radio where then it's archived thereafter. I know New Baltimore does. Mid-Hudson Cable actually films their meetings, and then they roll them out throughout the week. Anything that we could do to make it so people could hear us, that people could go back and listen to us. Every word that I say on behalf of 4,000 people in Durham. When I become a state legislator, every word I say comes from 129,000 people when I'm in that setting, in those committee meetings, when I'm in my role of legislature, when I'm voting. And the more information that you could have on who your representatives are, that's going to make democracy the best possible, most beautiful thing, especially when it comes to election season, to know, do those people, are they fighting for values? Are they making decisions based off of you? So anything we could ever do to improve that or the state legislature, I will always vote in favor of, 100%.
Yeah, we have an app that the town of Catskill is using to webcast, and we put them on the radio as often as possible, the town of Catskill meetings, and local citizens are using the WGXC app to webcast the Hudson Common Council meetings and the Columbia County Board of Supervisors meetings currently.
Great.
So any local citizens that want to, I think there might be a citizen at the jail meeting Monday broadcasting that, but we'd happily work with the legislature to use the app if you guys want to webcast, because we think it's 2018 and all local town meetings should be streamed live on the web at this point because it's very easy to do.
Well, yeah, I'll certainly go back and relay that maybe at one of our committee meetings, depending on where this would fall into business, have you come in and do a quick presentation. You remember the staff here and let us know what we need for communications. But I could tell you I'm wholeheartedly in favor of it.
Anything else? We've got to go because Virginia Martin, the Columbia County elections supervisor, is going to call in with some information about, I guess, the deadlines to register and we want to talk to her about the petitioning process for the congressional candidates. What else do you want to mention about your campaign?
Yeah, just A, thank you again, and B, to everyone who's listening and will be listening in the weeks to come. April 24th is a big day for us in this district, and I was a volunteer EMS provider here, worked as a paramedic, served in many capacities, including president of Rotary, chairman of the EMS Council here, EMS coordinator for years, the advocacy coordinator for the state of New York, going to Washington, D.C. in the state, trying to get us voluntarily bills. And as a county legislator, focus on health, focus on broadband, and voted no on erroneous tax increases. So if I could go to the state legislature and represent each and every single one of you to make our communities the best they could be and work with not-for-profit groups, work with for-profit groups, work with everybody to make our communities the better they can be, I'm your person. April 24th, Aiden O'Connor Jr.
And give that website address too again?
www.aidan4assembly.com.
All right, Aiden O'Connor, thank you for coming in to ACRA today, and good luck with the election.